Thanks very much, David, and good morning to you. Good to be here. Good to be back after holiday break, and good to see you this morning if you're back likewise from your holidays. Well, as we've already noted, our story this morning is the wedding feast in Matthew chapter 22, and it's always nice to get an invitation, isn't it? And whether that's to a party or a special event or indeed to a wedding. When you get an invitation from somebody to something, it's a sign that you mean something to the person who is inviting you. You have some significance to that person in their lives. Now, of course, there are some events in life that life just means you can't always get to. But there are some invitations that would just be unmissable. I think if you had received last year an invitation to William and Kate's royal wedding, there wouldn't have been anything that would have taken precedence over it. We saw that, didn't we, with the great and the good clearing their diaries and flying in from all over the world, no doubt at great expense, to make sure they were there to take up the invitation. Because they understood what an honour, what a privilege it was to be invited to that kind of occasion. And it's with that kind of thought that we come to Matthew 22. It's that kind of background that Jesus has in mind when he begins his story in Matthew's Gospel. Now, we're going to have the Bible reading this morning read to us by Majid. I'm going to ask Majid to come up. He's going to read it to us in Farsi. So if you're an English speaker, you can follow along on the translation on the screen, or you can have your Bible open, and it's on page 990 of the Red Pew Bibles. It'd be good to have your Bible open throughout our time this morning. I'm going to ask Majid to come and to read us the Word of God to us in Farsi. Thanks, Majid.
مسئله جشن عروسی عیسی باز به مسئله ها به ایشان سخن گفته فرمود پادشاهی آسمان را میتوان به شاهی تشبیه کرد که برای پسر خود جشن عروسی به پا داشت. او خادمان خود را فرستاد تا دعوت شدگان را به جشن فرا خوانند، اما آنها نخواستند بیایند. پس خادمان دیگر فرستاد و گفت دعوت شدگان را بگویید اینک سفره جشن را آماده کردم، گاوان و گوساله های پرواریم را سر بریدم و همه چیز آماده است، پس به جشن عروسی بیایید. اما آنها اعتنا نکردند و هر یک به راه خود رفتند، یکی به مزرعه و دیگری به تجارت خود. دیگران نیز خادمان او را گرفتند و آزار دادند و کشتند. شاه چون این را شنید خشمگین شده سپاهیان خود را فرستاد و قاتلان را کشت و شهر آنها را به آتش کشید. سپس خادمان خود را گفت جشن عروسی آماده است، اما دعوت شدگان شایستگی حضور در آن را نداشتند. پس به میدان شهر بروید و هر که را یافتید به جشن عروسی دعوت کنید. غلامان به کوچه ها رفتند و هر که را یافتند چه نیک و چه بد با خود آوردند و تالار عروسی از میهمانان پر شد. اما هنگامی که شاه برای دیدار با میهمانان وارد مجلس شد، مردی را دید که جامه عروسی بر تن نداشت. از او پرسید ای دوست، چگونه بدون جامه عروسی به اینجا آمدی؟ آن مرد پاسخی نداشت. آنگاه پادشاه خادمان خود را گفت دست و پایش را ببندید و او را به تاریکه بیرون بیندازید، جایی که گریه و دندان به دندان ساییدن خواهد بود، زیرا دعوت شدگان بسیارند اما برگزیدگان اندک.
Thanks, Majid, and may the Lord bless to us the public reading of his precious and inspired words. We have seen over recent weeks in these summer services where we've been looking at parables in Matthew's Gospel what a great storyteller Jesus was. He used these parables, of course, to teach people spiritual truths, to teach people truths about God and about faith. And one of the big themes of Jesus' teaching throughout Matthew's Gospel, particularly when he is using parables, is this idea of the kingdom of heaven, verse 2, or the kingdom of God, as it's sometimes spoken about in the other Gospels. The kingdom of heaven is not some mystical land way up in the clouds. It's not somewhere beyond the rainbow. The kingdom of heaven is an expression that Jesus uses to describe anywhere you find God's people living under God's rule. So inasmuch as there are Christians here this morning, God's people who are seeking to live under God's rule, the kingdom of heaven is in this place, even as we meet here today. So when Jesus teaches about or uses parables to describe the kingdom of heaven, he is explaining what it means to be one of God's people and what it means to live under God's rule. On one occasion previously in Matthew, he had used a parable to compare the kingdom of heaven to priceless treasure, to a pearl that was beyond price. And in doing that, he's really making the point that being one of God's people, living under God's rule, is the most precious thing that you can have in life. Having that claim upon God's people, that claim upon God's kingdom, is worth giving up everything else in life for. Why? Why is it so precious? So valuable? What is so important about being part of the kingdom of heaven? Why does Jesus spend so much time teaching about the kingdom of heaven? Because only the kingdom of heaven will last. Only the kingdom of heaven has a future with hope. Because one day, the Bible is very clear, God is going to establish his rule, his kingdom, this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God, fully over the whole world. And where that rule has been rejected, where people have stood apart from God, there will be no place in that world other than to be rejected and to face the judgment of God. The Bible is very clear on this. This is the time to take hold of the kingdom of heaven. This is the time to stake your claim, to be counted in that kingdom. But the good news is, the great news of the gospel is that Jesus came to throw open the doors of the kingdom of heaven. To throw open the doors so that anybody this morning can be a citizen of that kingdom. Because all that would keep you and me out of it, all that would prevent us from having a claim in that kingdom, that would stop us from entering in to God's kingdom, has been dealt with by Jesus himself. That rejection of God in our lives, the times when we reject God's rule in so many ways, on so many occasions, thoughtfully and unthoughtfully, all that rejection of his rule, all those times when we have stood apart from God, everything that the Bible calls sin was taken up by Jesus at the cross. He took the rejection and the punishment that it deserved so that men and women today can enter freely into God's kingdom, can start to experience what it means to live under God's good rule in this world, to be part of the future that is going to outlast the years, part of the future where sin will be no more, where justice and righteousness will reign forever. It is a wonderful, amazing, staggeringly generous invitation for God to make. Totally undeserved and only possible because of the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says at the start of this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast, like a banquet laid on by the king. Verse 2. And the invitations, as we heard in the children's story, are sent out to be a guest of the king, to come and to celebrate his son. But, verse 3, they refused to come. It's a shock. It's ludicrous. It's crazy. You don't turn down an invitation like that. So the servants are sent out again. Verse 4. This time with a message, come on, the food's getting cold. Everything's ready. What are you waiting for? Where are you? And it's the best food. Top of the range, the 5-star caterers have been brought in. But, verse 5, they still paid no attention. These were people who evidently thought they had better things to do. Some went to work, to their fields and to their businesses, not wasting time going to the feast when they could be making money and getting on with lives. Others are actually angered by the invitation we read. They take great objection to it. This repeated call to come and to celebrate the Son, to come to the great wedding feast. And they take their annoyance out on the servants who bear the invitation, ill-treating them, attacking them, killing them, verse 6. You know, week by week here at Greenview, and at many churches across our city, God's wonderful invitation is being extended week by week. The call to come and to sit at God's table. The offer to come and to honour God's Son. To enter the kingdom of heaven. To seek the forgiveness that Jesus made possible. To start to experience the freedom and the liberty and the joy of living under God's good rule. It is an amazing honour and privilege. We should never underestimate it or take it for granted. Just because we hear it so often. That today God is asking and inviting every single one of us who are hearing his voice today to come. To come into his house, to come into his presence, to be with him, to celebrate Jesus Christ. And yet week by week, people who hear this invitation refuse to come. They turn down the invite. Some presumably think that this kind of invitation is just going to get in the way of more pressing and important matters in life. It will just be a distraction from getting on with the day-to-day practical things of careers and relationships and making something of themselves as they see it. Others find this repeated offer, this repeated invitation, tiresome and offensive. And they don't try and hide the fact in their hostility towards Christianity and to the church and to Christians. There are two warnings in this passage. The first one is in verse 7. You see, it's a serious thing to snub the king. To reject his invitation. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. You know, God won't force you to accept his invitation. Nobody is going to be press ganged into the kingdom of heaven. But if we reject God's call, if we decide that we're not going to honour the Son, Jesus Christ, that standing apart from God, that rejection of his rule, has consequences. You know, one of the accusations that atheists and non-religious people sometimes level against Christians is that Christians live in some kind of airy-fairy nursery world. Where faith is just a big comfort blanket. That Christianity is just used to avoid the harsh realities of life. And doubtless there are many examples where Christianity has been represented in that way. But it's not the Christianity that Jesus taught. It's not the Christianity that the Bible presents to us. You see, Jesus spoke to people as responsible adults. The Bible treats us this morning as grown-ups. And it's very clear that the Bible will hold us, that God will hold us responsible for our actions and our choices. So if we reject God's rule, if we reject his ownership of this world, if we snub God in that sense, then God will hold us to that. There will be no place for people who have made that choice in that kingdom that is going to outlast the years. You see, the Bible is a serious book. You might not believe it, but if it's true, it won't be all right. Christianity isn't a message that says, well, whether you believe it or not, it will all work out for you in the end. But there's a part two in the story, isn't there? Because having been rejected by the first group of invitees, the king now opens up the invitation to anyone. Verse 9. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Have to understand here a little bit about who Jesus was telling the story to in the first place. Jesus, of course, in Matthew 22 is speaking to Jewish people in Israel at that time. And he's speaking to them as their promised Saviour. Jesus had come to his own, to Israel, to God's Old Testament people as their promised Messiah. He had come to show Israel that all those Old Testament promises about God's kingdom were going to be fulfilled, were going to become a reality in him, that he was the king that they looked forward to in the Old Testament, who was going to come and deal with sin and establish God's good rule upon the earth forever. It was a call to Israel to come to honour him as God's son, as that promised one, to celebrate the beginning of God's kingdom that they had so long anticipated and waited for. Jesus was bringing it in. But the tragedy was, as John puts it in his gospel, that he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Like this first group of invitees in Matthew 22, Israel nationally, collectively, religious Israel did not embrace Jesus, but they rejected him. They turned down the invitation and they crucified him on the cross. So that some think the reference to the destruction of the city in verse 7 is actually a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem that was going to happen in AD 70. But we know that even as Israel collectively, because of course many individual Jewish people did come to faith and did embrace Jesus and did accept him, the apostles for a start. But even as national Israel, as collective Israel rejected Jesus, God opened the doors for that same invitation to go out to the whole world. So that people of every nation and every culture, of every religious background, could enter in and find a place in the kingdom of heaven. So even here this morning, even here in Glasgow, on this island stuck out in the North Atlantic where it rains incessantly, even in July, there are people who are gathered into the kingdom of heaven today. Hallelujah. But there's a second warning in this story. And it's a warning for those who are in the second group of invitees. Because there's a surprise at the end, a twist at the end. Didn't mention it, didn't have time to do it with the children. But Jesus doesn't stop at verse 10. How I would love as a preacher that this parable had stopped at verse 10 and it would just be this great ending. But typical Jesus, never a crowd pleaser, pushes on because he's got another point to make to us this morning who are in that second group that have been invited in. Because in verse 11, the king goes out to meet the wedding guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. There's somebody who's not dressed up for the occasion, not wearing wedding clothes. Now, wedding clothes in this context, in the culture of the day, wasn't a top hat and tails. It was just simply putting on clean clothes, on good clothes, on smart clothes, you might say. In other words, this person had just turned up any old way without any effort whatsoever, without any seeming recognition of the importance or the significance of this occasion. And when questioned about it, verse 12, the man's speechless. In other words, he has no excuse. And consequently, he too is thrown out. This time, it tells us, into outer darkness, verse 13. And Jesus is making it quite clear what he has in mind by such an expulsion. This is a reminder to us that while God's invitation to come to Jesus this morning, to enter into his kingdom, is free, it's not cheap. That while it's open to all people without distinction, whatever your background, the good and the bad, verse 10, it's not to be treated lightly or casually, but it's to be embraced with humility, with effort, with seriousness. It's to be valued. It's to be esteemed. It should affect us. It should change us. You know, there are some free gifts that you regard just as throwaway, simply because they're free, like those toys you get in McDonald's boxes. But there are some, like an invitation to a royal wedding, that you esteem, that you make an effort for. If you had turned up last April at Westminster Abbey in your gardening gear, you probably wouldn't have got in. They'd probably have said, "You're not taking this seriously. You're not coming with the right attitude. You're not giving enough priority and value to this thing that you have been invited to turn up in that fashion." Will you accept God's invitation today, to honour Jesus, to place yourself under his rule, to thank Jesus for dying for you? For every one of us, are we giving Jesus the value, the place that he deserves in our lives? Do our lives reflect that? Do we take the gospel for granted? Has familiarity, if not bred contempt, bred a certain indifference? So we hear about this wonderful invitation. We hear about what Jesus has done for us. We hear about his sacrifice and his death and his love. And we think, yeah, whatever. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus is saying, is not a turn up, wander in, whatever suits you kind of affair. It is a place at God's table. Forgiveness and new life at highest cost. The gospel is an invitation, and an invitation that is worth giving up everything else for. To know Jesus, to be part of the future that is going to go on forever and ever and ever under God's glorious eternal reign. It's God's invitation to us this morning. What will we do? We could brush it away. We could shrug our shoulders. Or we could sit up and say, I want to be part of that future. I want to receive that invitation. I want to sit at that table and stir ourselves up to take hold of the kingdom of heaven, to take hold of Christ Jesus this morning. Will we do that? Will we do it afresh? If you haven't done it before in your life, let me encourage you and invite you to do it today. Before you leave this place, to take up this wonderful invitation of Jesus Christ and to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'll be at the front as we close, come down, and I would be delighted just to pray with you or to speak to you about taking up that invitation if God lays that on your heart this morning. And may God bless to us his holy word. Amen.